Put me on like a glove today, Lord. This would be like a skin suit for you to use. I wouldn't be too much Pastor Sean and get in the way of what you want to do, Father, and I wouldn't be afraid to do what you say to do either. That your spirit would be so impacting in the word that our hearts would be pried open in ways that it hasn't been in a long time. And you'd be glorified in all of that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I say put me on a glove, I need to show you a picture of what I felt like. As I say that a lot, my wife's like, that's what I'm thinking. The hamburger helper, man. You know, I think the slogan was, helps you serve a great meal. Yeah, it's like, all right, God, you got a great meal. Just put me on like that little glove and serve it, you know. Looking back, hamburger helper wasn't that great of a meal, but what a great marketing tool, you know. I'm just saying, you know, that's what you hear me, you think, oh, he's wanting to be the hamburger helper man again, you know. Saul of Tarsus, a man reborn. Jesus said, so look it up. We're going to recap a little bit. Jesus said some things. And this is one of the things he said, you must be reborn. You must be. He used the must word. You must be reborn. And he also said, if you're not, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. So it became like this essential thing. Like Jesus said that. Those are heavy words. Those are life-changing words. Reborn is this mini description. It's like a life completely changed, right? Recentered on God's ways and not our own ways, and it's tough, right? Jesus said we must be reborn because it's essential. And Saul of Tarsus had this impressive resume. He was going in one direction really hard. Ever go one direction really hard? Ever live really hard one direction? Oh, come on. I know some of your stories. Villarreal, where are you? Raise your hand. Thank God. Thank you. You know? Yeah, really hard one direction. Like, I'm this way. Ah, rah. You know? No one tell me what to do. You know? I'm a rebel without a cause or a plan. I'm just a rebel. Anybody? Butch, raise your hand. Me and you. Me and you. You know, come on. So Jesus said it's essential to be reborn. Saul of Tarsus is going real hard one way. He was anti-Jesus. He was that kind of guy. It wasn't just like, God's not for me. He was like, I'm going to kill the people that love him. Like he was anti-Jesus. That's where he was at. So. We'll read a little recap story. Let's go to Acts 9, 1 through 2. I'll go through it quickly. I wrote myself, no, it says go quickly. If they need to see more, they can hear it online or read it for themselves. Okay, that's my PSA. Acts 9, 1 through 2. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord and relentless in his search for believers, went to the high priest and asked for letters of authority from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any men or women there belonging to the way, the believers, the followers of Jesus, the Messiah, men and women alike, he could arrest them and bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. Honestly, I don't typically recap big chunks of the word very often. Why? Because if you can serve a good meal, but if you take too big a bite, it's hard to swallow, you know, so I try not to do that very often when I do recaps or scriptures, you know, so I break them small portions, right? I'm not going to do that right now. So this morning, so don't choke on this. It's rare, so just get ready. It's just Acts 9, 3 through 16, just for the recap. It says, rapidamente, por favor, which is Spanish for do it quickly, sir. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission of anti-Jesus and church, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up, get up, get up. No, get up and go. Get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Say must. Must do. Then the men with Saul stood speechless. They heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, saying, thank you, Lord, for a disciple. Right. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Ananias said to him, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, go, over the straight street to the house of Judah. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him so that he can see. Disciple, ever do this? When the Lord tells you to do something, ever have a but? But Lord, that's Africa. But Lord, but Lord, you know? But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things. Well, sometimes we just read too quickly on that, though. This guy was known for doing terrible things. Terrible things this man has done. Most of the reborn in our life can relate. If you've not thought you've done a terrible thing, then you've never been forgiven for anything. We've all done terrible things. But there's some level of terrible out there, right? There's some levels of terrible, right? This man has done terrible things. He's done terrible things to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leadership and the priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name. But the Lord said, go. Say, go. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles. To them, that's shocking. God, you want to talk to those people? We're your chosen people. Don't you remember? He said, yeah, I'm about to blow your minds what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this guy, and I'm going to have him do something like crazy. Take my message to the Gentiles. Often disciples are asked to do hard assignments. I'm very grateful that God is someone obedient to do a hard assignment when he's asked. Say, I am the church. Saul is my instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to all the people of Israel. And I will show him, here's the part I didn't read last week when we jumped off. I will show him how much he must, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, can't you admit, if you don't know the story about Saul, Paul, read it. And maybe we'll get through some more of it. But if you have ever read it, you have to admit that was a hard assignment. I don't know if I could have done Saul. I'd like to think it. You know, I feel like Superman. I got my shirt on for baptism today, Georgie. It's honor God, you know. It served the king, part of the brotherhood. Hoorah. I love it. You know, put lock our shields together. That's what I like. But in this moment, you think, come on. Could I have handled that hard of assignment from God? He didn't ask us to, but he did ask us to do our assignment. Right? So pray for others to be refreshed in their assignment. Pray that God, the Spirit of God within them, would give them courage again to do their assignment. Right? And that they finish that race, right? Not just to start, just to finish it. So we're going to check in now on a truly reborn man, and we're going to start fresh. I've recapped already. A man reborn, Acts 9:17. So Ananias left. Why? Because God said go. He obeyed, so he went. That's what disciples do, you know. Left and entered the house, and he laid his hands on Saul and said, here's a great part, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. You know, it's like, hey, bro, I'm taking a risk right now and accepting you. I'm calling you that because that's what God said. I might not see that. You might look different than me. You might, you know, way different. Some disciples look way different than each other. And he said, God said, you are now his. So, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me. Thank God he sent a disciple we could trust. I am the church now. Sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in order to proclaim Christ to both the Jews and Gentiles. That's the main purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's not to make you feel good or jump around or have a special prayer language with God or to prophesy. Those are wonderful things. All those things I've got to partake in my life, and they're great. But the power of the Holy Spirit is so misused and so translated to other things, and they don't realize it's supposed to empower disciples to share the gospel in their lives. And Saul needed that because he had a hard assignment. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to proclaim Christ to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And immediately, something like scales. Now, that always makes me laugh when I read that. Because it's like this guy trying to describe stuff, you know? Something like scales. I don't know how to describe it, like scales. You know, can you imagine writing down, like, could you say that again? What happened? You laid hands on somebody. I don't know, man. Something like scales, fellas. Leave me alone. He can see. That's the point. You know? I don't even notice. But, you know, sometimes we got something like scales on our eyes that we never notice all the time. We live our lives with something like scales. And when you really find Jesus, some scales fall off. You go, oh, you are who you said you are, so everything's got to change. Right. Something like scales fell from Saul's eye, and he regained his sight. Then, say a man reborn, then he got up. Hey, Saul got up. Ananias got up. Is it time for anyone else to do the same? Anybody in his church has been down, and you haven't got up to do what you're supposed to do because you've just been down. And God says hard things to us to get us going, not to put us down. Right? He got up and was baptized. Keep getting up, Georgie. Keep getting up. Baptism often is the first step of the action of the reborn. Can I share this much of the story? I mean, I'm going to mess it up. And if I mess it up, he's going to have to fix it. I'm going to give you headlines. And if I'm hitting the right headline, give me a thumbs up. You're like, Pastor, you're way off. Go down so I know. Okay. I want a headline. Georgie went to prison. Got out not long ago. Was alcoholic. Oh, he's adding to the thumb. But God, right? So today, and so sometimes you got to get up and go, okay, God, the scale's going to come off. I'm all in. And he needed a brotherhood. Anyways, he got up and was baptized. And he took some food and was strengthened. Now listen, Saul Paul was a guy. Hangry happens. I love that it's in there. It's not justification, fellas, but it happens. Saul Paul, you know, anyways. For several days afterwards, Saul remained with the disciples who were in Damascus. Here's another action of the reborn. Not only baptism, but here's another one. The reborn, find a reborn community to grow in. Or a problem. If you're truly reborn, you got to find a community to be reborn with. Right? It's important. And sometimes you got to stay a while and prove yourself to be a sincere disciple. You're going to see a problem. Saul's going to run into that. We don't maybe recognize that sometimes, but we're going to pull over there in a minute. Acts 9:20. And immediately, that's how the reborn, right, always reply, immediately. What did Saul do when he decided, this is a new life I'm going to live? I'm dead to myself. Christ alone is who I live for. He immediately began. Say, start. He began his new life for God. He began proclaiming Jesus. Remember, this was a guy that was breathing out threats. Now he's breathing out Jesus. Was breathing out threats against the church and against Jesus. He was breathing them out. It was the core of who he was. You know, he was Darth Vader. You know, he was whatever threats. I don't know what he's saying. He was breathing. Now he's breathing out Jesus. Right. Proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. Start where God has you. That's what Paul knew. Saul, that's what he knew. Where are you familiar? Where do I go? Just let your life be a light to where you're at. Don't worry about lighting the world if you can't light your family. Don't worry about lighting the world if you can't light your family. You're not going to be perfect in their eyes, and I'm talking about grace, but if you can't be consistent light and get better and proving that Jesus is working in your life, then who else are you really going to light? Get over behind the pulpit. So he was preaching Jesus in the synagogues, saying, this man is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. That's a reborn response. How do we respond when we realize that God is who he says he is? Like, we have to respond on a regular, right? So Saul's getting ready to have some work done in his new life. He's going to get right to it too. Acts 9:21-22. I love to see people serve God and get born again and follow Jesus. But there's always this thing when they get right to doing what God asked them to do. It's not, you know, they jump right to it. It does something. Acts 9:21-22. All those who heard him continued to be amazed and said, all those who heard him continue to be amazed. If you're really changing, if you're really living a reborn life, then people are going to notice. If you're really living a reborn life and you're really living it, people will notice. And they're actually supposed to notice. They're supposed to. Why? Salt. Light. We're supposed to draw, right? All those who heard him continued to be amazed. Is this the man who in Jerusalem attacked those who called on the name of Jesus? He was attacking those people. And he's come here, check this out, for the express purpose of bringing them bound with chains before the chief priests. But Saul increased in strength more and more and continued to perplex the Jews. Consistency is important. Continued, right? The Jews who lived in Damascus were examining and logically evidence, you know, theological evidence, and proving with scriptures. He was arguing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. You know why that's a big deal? Because Paul's the first educated, uber educated guy that was serving the religious leaders at the time, was the next rising star. He was the one that, like, this is the, we're going to elect him 2027. That's Paul. Saul of Tarsus. He's our guy, right? He was that guy. He was very educated. So he also had this Jesus experience. And I think for some of us, we just get our experience, we forget to dive into the Word and get educated. To let ourselves be in a group of people who will help us be educated. But you can't just rely on education. I know a lot of eggheads that don't know Jesus, but they can tell you what Leviticus 4:6 says. I don't know what it says. I just picked it out. So there's a balance to that. But it was a big deal. He's reborn and he's changing the course of his life. I have a slide. Here's my slide. It should be a simple one. I think I do. Being reborn with your words, be reborn with your actions, be reborn with your focus. So I am the church now. Yeah, I'm the church now. Acts 9:23-25. After considerable time had passed, there's a maturing process once you get born again. That also wants to be skipped. Maturing in your walk or maturing in your faith, however you like to say it, you know, with the youth 24/7s, walk the talk, you know. Also, sometimes it involves changing our talk. Ooh, all that real change can take some time. How many just instantly became like uber, super, real Christian overnight? Oh, man. I had brothers put me aside, hey, man, you got come here. Yeah, I love you, but don't make me smack you in the head. Yeah, I had Apostle John, you know. It's hard Samoan living right there, you know. You get me. But real change takes some time. Here's another side to it, too. I don't know if we look at this, you know. Don't be fussy. Not that the church will ever be fussy. But don't be fussy if it takes time to have a community of people approve you or your bosses or your leaders sometimes. Sometimes you got to be proven. Even though, I wrote out, don't be snarky. Okay, thank you, Pastor Justin. It may take a while. No, hear this because sometimes we don't get it. Seriously, it may take a while for those you violated. It may take a while for those you violated. It may take time to prove you're legit. In Saul's case, imagine being people that are friends with Stephen. Yeah, you're in Damascus. Yeah, he's all born again, is he? He killed my friend Wollstonecraft. And you want me to do what? Oh, yeah, oh, sure. I'll talk to him. I'm just saying, this is what it's saying. Sometimes it takes considerable time to prove yourself. And if you're not ready to do that, then you're not really born again. You're not surrendered to what God said. How long is it going to take? As long as it takes. Sometimes it takes as long as it takes. It's crazy how it goes. After a considerable time had passed, about 3 years or so, it took that long for a guy who was completely sold out to God, but also had previous considerable violations. And the Jews plotted together to kill him. Here's the thing that new believers probably don't get told enough. Sometimes in this new way of life for the reborn, all those who choose to be disciples should be aware the enemy of your soul is forever and always wanting to kill your assignment. From the moment you said yes to Jesus, you said, I got to kill that guy somehow. I cannot let them do what they're called to do because it will impact the world and I got to kill it. So when you sign up to serve God, know there's a target on your back from an enemy that used to pay attention to you a little bit, but you were working for him. So if you just smacked you around once in a while, it's no big deal. But now you're on the other team. You jump gangs. Jump gangs. That means you're marked for death on his side.
I am so sorry to have to do this, but somebody from the track side has contacted us. I don't mean to embarrass you, but there's a white minivan that is pulled too far up and they're not able to get cars to go through the parking lot. If that's you with a white minivan, if you'd be able to kind of park that so that it's adjacent with the car so that they can get through. I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Grazie. Appreciate that. The Jews plotted together to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ever the Holy Spirit tell you something? Like, thank you. I was going to do this. In the last second, he's like, and you didn't do it. You're like, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, I was rushing to get there on time, but if I'd have left then, I would have been right in the middle of that accident on the 60. So you mean it was good that God let me to Black Rock before I got on the 60? Anyways, but their plot became known to Saul. And they were watching the city's gates day and night. Look, your enemy's committed. The enemy's committed day and night to destroy disciples. He's committed. So they could kill him. It's beginning to be a theme, you know. But his disciples, thank God he's got some guys, right? So very important side note. Sometimes Saul or Paul gets to escape. We always pray for escape. I do. Lord, heal them completely in Jesus' name. That's escape. I don't want anybody to suffer. I want to see a miracle, and I want to see some set free. And I always pray for whatever I think would be the coolest thing. You know, they're under attack. Well, give them $1 million. You know, I don't know. I'm praying for the escape. And sometimes he brings sweet escape. Oh, Lord, thank you. Hannah and the baby are out of the hospital. I won't ask you for another thing. Yeah, right. No, not next week. We can't have 3 weeks of that. But his disciples sometimes get to escape, but sometimes they get beaten and left for dead. See, that's something to know before you get into the hot tub. His disciples took him by night. God's disciples took Paul by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. If the Chosen ever does this, I have to see this scene. I go, like, what's his basket? It's like a hot air balloon basket. He's got a first class basket. He's stuffed into a little, I don't know. I do want to see what they come up with. But we have baptism, so I can't linger there. But I'm just telling you, baptism's disciples saying publicly, truthfully, Georgie, you and I had a conversation, but I'll address you about it. Baptism of a disciple is publicly saying, whether I get lowered in a basket or I get beaten to death, I'm all in. All in. Messy. Yeah, that's what it means. Whether I get lowered in a basket or I get beaten to death, I'm all in. It's time for a slide. Reborn is a state of heart, a state of mind, and a state of action. There must be fruitful life in our actions. Read Matthew 7 and 9, talking about how it's important there's fruit in our actions. A man reborn is about to show us the greatest example of a truly reborn person I've ever seen. And his reborn, dedicated life changed the world, and it definitely changed me. Without Saul doing everything God asked him to do, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't know. I was a Gentile. Everybody but Jeff would have an opportunity. And just because he was born into it didn't mean anything. Right. So recap so far, this is what we know of Saul in this episode. They're trying to kill him. Bye-bye in a basket. All right. Acts 9:26. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Can't you see it? They saw bad Saul. In all due respect, you brothers from Damascus, they killed our friend Stephen, and he did terrible things. Yeah, he's cool. He went down to Tampa and got reborn, but he's back in AJ, and he did terrible things. And he killed your church community. Sometimes it takes a while to prove our focus, right? To prove that he's one of us now. Say, however, Jesus had a guy. Jesus got a guy. However, Barnabas, study that guy sometimes. I love Barnabas. He's the guy that, every time you're on a trip, let's take Barnabas. Why? Because he's awesome. He's super encouraging. He does everything hard, you know. Yeah, Barnabas is awesome. Barney took him and brought him to the apostles. He took him straight to the OGs. He took him straight to the original guys that Jesus called. Also, think about that. Barnabas must have had some credit in his character for them to even hear what he had to say. Oh, yeah, you're going to bring who up in here? Peter, get out the sword. Yeah, well, bring him up in here, you know? But Barnabas described to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus and how he had spoken to him and how at Damascus, Saul repeatedly preached openly, public proof, and spoke confidently in the name of Jesus. Acts 9, 28 through 31. So he was with them. Say, ah, unity. So he was with them, moving around freely as one among them in Jerusalem. It took a bit, but now there's unity in the community. That's a good thing. Speaking boldly, say all in. He's speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Saul no longer was pursuing Mr. Rising Star's agenda. He was a man reborn. He was talking and arguing with the Hellenists. And they were attempting to what? Kill him. That's a hard assignment. Every time. It's a norm for him. Some assignments are tough. When the brothers found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus, his hometown. Like, look, dude, you're bringing a lot of heat on us. Everyone's trying to kill you like all the time. We need a minute. Maybe that's how they felt. They're like, dude, everyone's trying to kill you all the time. We need to get you out of here. A basket with wheels. You know, we need to get you gone. I don't know. Maybe Saul needed a break from persecution too. So the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. Who wants a nice slab of peace in your life? Man, just a slice of peace, right? Now, give me a little slice of peace. Man, a big old slice of peace. A honking wedding cake peace pocket, you know? Yeah. Enjoy peace without persecution. Woo! Wouldn't that be great? Most of us really don't even understand that word. At least like we think we are. Man, I was at the coffee pot. This guy saw my pen and said, I love Jesus. He said, punk, and walked away. I was devastated the rest of the day. Yeah, imagine there's a sniper outside. Go, when he steps outside, kill him. There's a difference. Persecution is persecution, but sometimes we go, I'm so persecuted. Why? You didn't even know. I set a boundary with someone. They didn't talk to me for 3 days. Come on, disciple. Say, I am the church. Say, Pastor, don't pick on us. It's Baptism Sunday. enjoyed peace without persecution, being built up in wisdom, virtue, and faith. That sounds like a great church experience. Imagine walking into the church, right? We're in unity. I'm getting built up in wisdom. My faith is up there, my virtue. Woo! And walking in, living out in the fear of the Lord, respecting him as boss, and in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Does that sound like a great church? Say, I am the church. And it continued to grow in numbers, and it's still growing today. Georgie, it's going to grow right today. Today, the church grows because a disciple did what he was told to do. I'm just saying. So here's my question for baptism folks and the rest of the church. Has God been showing up in your life? Like, you've been walking around, you're like, God, just speak to me. Everyone just say that. And sometimes here's reasons that we go, well, he's not saying anything. Sometimes it is because we have so much sin around us in our lives that he told us not to do, that we're so clouded. He's speaking, but we can't hear it because we keep stuffing stuff in our scales and our things. I can't hear God. Well, he told you to stop doing that. It's hard to hear God when you're in a mosh pit. Yeah. But sometimes, even in our mosh pit, he'll show up. He'll slam into us. If you don't know what a mosh pit is, probably it's okay. It's when a bunch of kids get around dancing together, you slam into each other and knock each other to the ground. Yeah. Sounds like fun. But even in our mosh pits, or in your random coincidental moments of life, God's been speaking to you about something. He's been showing up in unexpected ways. Has Jesus been asking you to follow him like you have never followed him before? Like, this is the season. I need more. And it's not like me picking on you. I'm asking, has God been saying that to you? To follow him like his way. I know I have a way that I like to follow him. It's easier for me. It has to do with less public speaking and more time up on the mountain. That's how I'd prefer. Lord, you said go to Pine Top. He whispered that over there in Kentucky. And you heard that? Oh, yeah, I've been waiting for that one. Goeth to Pine Top and build a resort. Oh, Lord. That's not what he's saying sometimes to me. No, dig a little deeper. This is Caleche. Do you know how this city is built on Caleche, Lord? Dig it deeper. But has Jesus been asking you to follow him his way and do whatever he asks? That's what I asked of the little fella. He said, I want to get in that tub. So my first question is, all little kids do, you know. Why do you want to get in that tub? He said, because I love God. I said, would you love God enough to do what he asks you to do, no matter what, even if you don't want to? Yeah, why? Because I love God. That's childlike, but it's discipleship. Is it time for you to go to the next level in commitment? I'm just asking. I don't know. There's things like some of us have been in that three-year period of just, all right, God, I'm proving this, I'm proving that. He said, yeah, I want you to come now do this. Oh, that's children's ministry. That is terrifying. No, the nursery is worse. The nursery, Lord, for me, I'm good from 4 and up. 0 to 4, it's iffy. I'm just, you know, I still haven't changed a diaper yet in Noah's life. And I hope that I never have to. It's coming probably, but I just, you know, I go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, who's other than Papa's here? You know? Yeah. But maybe it's time for a new level of commitment. Maybe you're the diaper genie. Time for real and fresh commitment from disciples to be his church again. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you do not represent New Season Christian Fellowship, though you might. This might be your home. But you represent the church. And if we're growing, the church is growing. And this is a growth year. not just numbers of people. It's wonderful. And that's God's doing something to disciples. And I love that because community is getting healthy and that's fantastic. But if we're not growing in our following of him, then is the church really growing? So sometimes you got to hear hard things. You know, I guess that's my job. Yay. But if I don't say them, or if God doesn't say them to me, and trust me, he tells me first. Every time I do this, I got four pointing back at me. But if we don't let him tell us hard things, then we don't really love him. Not only is he the Lord, we don't really love him. Because if someone you love who knows has your absolute best in mind and that you promised to commit your life to ever for, you've been jumped in, asked you to do something really hard, there's nothing that Dr. Heidi could not ask me to do on this planet. You can't name, in your head, you go, what about this? I'm telling you, if Dr. Heidi asked me to do it unto death, it's done. Why? Because I'm committed. I'm in. That's God saying, you love me that much? Do you love me that much? Now, he may not ask you to be Saul or Georgie, but he's asking something of his church again. Don't you feel it? And he's filling us again with that kind of desire for, I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the power. I need a community. I need a brotherhood. I need a sisterhood. I need to get with folks. Why? Because there's this need in us to do what God asks us to do, and he's trying to draw us right back into place again. He's a good dad. He's bringing the family that was split back together again. Somehow he's pulling it together. Why? Because the cross bridges every gap. So if you've ever wanted to be baptized and decided against it, but you know today he's talking to you about it, I'd love you to join me in the office for a minute and we talk about it. And maybe you're like, yeah, but I've been coming to church for like 30 years. When your scales fall off your eyes, your scales fall off your eyes. And there's a choice to get up. So I want to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to have Pastor Jody pray us out. Pastor Justin eventually meet me over at the baptism trough with Georgie and the little fella. And I'll be in my office for a couple minutes. Wait for me outside in case people are ready. I don't know how, if they get changed, how that part of it works. Because when you come up to me, I dunk you as you are. So if you don't want your hat ruined, George, you put it in the backpack. That's what I'm saying. So Pastor Jay, would you please close us out?
Yes, as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. The scales falling off our eyes are something that only the Father can do. So I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit would come and he would do just that. Not only in those who are making the decision to be baptized today, but in every single one of us. We all have areas in our lives where there are scales. Scales of religion. Scales of perfection. Of shame. Guilt. And I really know that the Father desires us to walk with eyes wide open. And so, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here right now. Jesus, when you walked on this earth, you gave sight to the blind. And I invite you to do the very same thing in this place because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. For those of us that have scales on our eyes, that keep us blinded or keep us only looking to ourselves for strength, I pray that those scales would fall off right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, those of us who've grown up in religion and we look at everything with the eyes of perfection and attaining something and striving, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that those scales would begin to fall off right now. I thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So if we are found in bondage today, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would expose Jesus to our hearts and to our minds. Father, we come to you today recognizing that we are blind. And just like Bartimaeus, We cry out to you. Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us, Jesus. That in our blindness, you would approach us once again and you would lay your hands upon us and we would be forever changed. As we watch others step into that trough today, may we be reminded of the rebirth that's taking place in our own hearts. May we be reminded and provoked to a new season of discipleship. We truly want to be the church you desire. Would you do the work that only you can do in our hearts today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.